If you can see the game doing well and you have the time to put into it, do it. If you are in the right situation to not have to worry about your money and to not have to worry about like how your bill's gonna be paid, go all in and do that one game if you want to. It is very, very hard to start as a streamer in multiple different games because you don't find like a small community in each game pocket. You kind of bounce around and this person that was watching you is gonna stay over here in this game. He's gonna find somebody else. But if you stay in this game, then more and more people come to that spot. Nowadays, you have to put in YouTube. You have to do Twitter. You have to do Instagram. You have to do TikTok nowadays too. It's like you have to put in, if you're gonna do one game and you're gonna start at the beginning of that game cycle and that game's life, put in the time to do all of the content as much as you can, especially on YouTube. Because if not, there's just no point in doing one game. My branding used to be based around a character and a skin inside the game. And once I realized like my content is solely about the game and not about me, it's like I need to make my branding also reflect that. So I stripped everything down and I made all of my branding completely on its own about myself. It had nothing to do with the game at all. Not because I was going to separate myself from the game, but separate my channel and my like my actual branding not being linked strictly to that. So when I go to a different game, it's not like, why is your branding this skin?
James, OP, it's great to have you on. What do you prefer to go by?
Either one's fine. Actually, people call me Britton, but not James. So, stream calls me James. Everyone else calls me Britton, and Open and OP is more than fine.
Where's Britton come from?
Britton is my middle name. And so I grew up with everyone calling me Brit, very short. And when I grew up, I was like, I don't like being called a girl's name. Like, I don't like being called that. So I switched it to Britton and then that's how we went from there. So stream calls me both, actually all three. Just depends on their mood, if they're angry, if they're happy, if they're talking smack or whatnot.
Oh, cool. I will go with, so not Brit, or is Brit? Wait, hold on. Let me make sure I get Britain.
Britain. Britain. Okay, like the country, but spelled with an O-N instead of an A-I.
I will try my best to make sure I stick to that. If I don't, well, so let me, okay. At least everyone else listening, has got an idea. I think for the audience listening, it'd be really helpful. You know, it was like a member of our community actually that suggested you come on the show because they wanted to learn more about your story. Okay. Could you share where you're at right now? So where are you creating content? You know, what's your kind of average CCV to follower, just that kind of ballpark, so those things get an idea.
Okay, I am. I'm everywhere. I'm on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter. I guess you can count Twitter and Instagram. I just actually started with TikTok, doing like these really small, like branding help / like small Twitch recording help videos, because I never really had anything like that when I was doing it. So it's like YouTube is a weird place to put that. So I'll put it on TikTok. It's smaller, easier for people to find. It's by itself. Concurrent viewers is kind of all over the place when it depends on like Spellbreak's doing really well, the game that I play, or not. It's in between like the 60 to 150 range. It's very kind of awkward with that, but I'm right in that like right before partner on Twitch area, and I stream every day of the week except for weekends. So
Monday to Friday. How often are you streaming?
Monday to Friday,
nine a.m. to three. Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that's super helpful. One of the things we like to do is kind of wind the clock, you know, back, because it's always interesting. Like, how the hell did you end up doing this for a living?
Yeah.
So where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
I grew up in Greensboro of North Carolina, which I was born in Gastonia, moved to Greensboro when I was 2. And I had a very basic childhood of you go to this school. I actually went to a school where everyone went to the same school from kindergarten to 12th grade. And so I knew everybody all the way through. Basic, you go to church on Sundays, you do the things, you know, very Southern family style, right? And then I got to college and I was like, I don't think that college is really the right path there. So that's where I first like deviated a little bit from that like normal, very stereotypical like Southern life of just you go to school, then you go to church, you go to school, then you grow up, you do the same thing. But very basic childhood. Played sports. Did the normal stuff.
Were you hooked in? Were you into gaming or tech like way back then?
I wasn't. So I was into gaming, but it was more on the side of like arcade games, not necessarily like I bought, I think, I don't even remember how old I was when an Xbox came out. I think I was like 15, 16. I always had a Game Boy growing up. Like my first game ever was Pokemon. It was Red on my little yellow Game Boy Color. And I carried that everywhere I had, everywhere I went. But I was more on like the arcade stuff, like Street Fighter. And then like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games in the arcade. We had this pool at our neighborhood, and it just had like three arcade games. And even when the pool was closed, those arcade games were open. And so that's where we would just go, because you could walk distance from our house and stuff like that. And then I got into gaming, I think more so when Lord of the Rings had an Xbox game, right around the same time that Halo was like really popular. But I didn't play competitive games like at all, period. I played very much like first person story games or kind of like sports games a little bit. And then I didn't play competitive games at all until I think I was maybe like 21, like at all. I didn't play Halo. I didn't play Call of Duty. I didn't play anything like that until I was like 21. And I jumped on like the Destiny train, because it was like half PvE type of situation, and then you've got the PvP side, and I really didn't even do PvP in that aspect at all, period.
So not competitive games really. But what happened when you didn't go to college, you mentioned? So did you?
Right, well, I went to college, and I got like 2 years in, and I was like, this is just not what I like. I didn't know where I wanted to go, and so I was just like kind of switching. I started graphic design, and then I did a lot of like hospitality stuff, because my family comes from a restaurant management background. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll just do that and just kind of fit into like the normal background and do that for the rest of it, because it would be like an easy transition into a job, because my dad was high up in that space. So it's like I could just do that. But I decided not to do college. It just didn't feel like I was going where I wanted to go, even though I didn't know where I wanted to go.
When you made that decision, how did your parents feel when you were like, I'm out of college? Did you even tell them?
So, I did tell them. So I grew up, my dad always telling me, you're not going to work in the restaurant. You're not going to work in the restaurants. You're not going to work in the restaurants. When I was 14, I was like, hey, so if you guys aren't going to like buy me a car when I turn 16, you know, I probably need a job. So let me get a job at the restaurant. And he was like, you're not working at the restaurant. Well, that didn't last very long. So I worked at a restaurant at 14, started going up and through there. And so when I told them, I was like, well, I'll just work. I don't really need a degree to work with you in the restaurant. I'll just do that. And he was not happy. Did not want that to happen.
Did he just want something different for you?
He wanted something different. Yeah. So like, I think, so he grew up, very artistic, and he actually got a degree in ceramics, not in like restaurants or anything like that. And he didn't do what he wanted to do, and so he didn't want me to do what I didn't want to do, type of situation. And so, and he knew that like restaurants were long nights, long weekends, you're not really with your family a lot, and he just didn't want that. So and I did end up doing that, and he kind of got over that. But that was kind of like
the irony. The irony of that is he was trying so hard to protect you from that.
Right.
And you actually ended up going into that.
And I went out and I was like, I'm just going to, it's because at the time I was very much like, I just don't know what I want to do. I don't know what's going on. I want to take a break from like school, even if I want to come back to school. So I was like, I'll just come work for you and do that. And it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And I'll be, because it was something that like I grew up in, because my dad did it. So I knew it very well. It wasn't like a hard job for me to do. I knew exactly what was going to happen, like what to expect, because I grew up again with him doing it. So it wasn't like there were any like surprises there. But he was not happy with that decision. My mom, I think still to this day, would rather me still go back to college. My dad, they both love that I do what I love, but I still think they would like that cushion a little bit.
It's the safety, right? It's what they know as well.
Yeah,
they don't really understand this side. They've not seen this side play out yet.
No, they don't. They don't. And they like every time I like hit like a, like even if it's a small milestone, I'll tell them and they'll get like super excited, and every time I see them and they'll ask me about how things are going. So it's a good like support system there with that, which I know a lot of people don't.
So you made the decision, you're not going to college. You worked in a restaurant for a while. You're still in the restaurant when you're starting to play Halo and things like that, or COD at the time.
When I was playing Destiny. I was playing Destiny on the weekends, and because I was I transitioned This is actually funny. Through the job that I was working with my dad, I got a different job working with a beer distributor to install and sell draft beer systems, which is a really cool job. I get to travel. I get to taste beer whenever I want to because I'm like testing, right? I'm testing the beer to make sure it's pouring correctly and all this other stuff. So I get to travel like, so I'm in North Carolina. I get to travel to Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, all these places and just like go to like the Braves Stadium. Like we put the draft beer system in the Braves Stadium in Atlanta, which is cool. Or like the Tennessee Titans. So we get to go to these really cool places. That's kind of when, before that is when I started streaming, but during that, I had like a work accident. I don't know if you want to get into that now.
Definitely
but
do. I want to know when you started streaming or why you even started streaming. So let's. I didn't want to jump ahead to you. Sorry, I skipped a couple of years.
We'll go. So I started working this job where I was actually at the beginning of it. I started like doing like line cleaning for the beer companies. Which a lot of people realize you have to like clean your beer lines or like gunk gets like because it's. Natural,
I did the same.
Right?
I was a bottle cap. Company where they made bottle caps for like spirit bottles.
Oh yeah,
and the amount on the production line, the amount of gunk and stuff that just accumulates.
It's good because it's like yeasty beer. It's like micro.
Pain in the spirit industry.
Yeah. It's a bad time. So, anyways, I started doing that, and I was playing Destiny on the side, and one of my buddies. It was a weekend, and I didn't work weekends, so one of my buddies. I used to watch Twitch. Let me back up a little bit. I used to watch Twitch on my PlayStation. So I never was a PC gamer, ever. And the reason actually I got a PC was to stream my PlayStation stuff, which is funny. We'll get to that. But I was streaming, or I was playing Destiny on my PlayStation, which I used to watch Twitch on. I used to watch, like, Gathalion.
How did you, just curious, and, how did you, know, you like, get Broman. Into it? Like, how did you start watching people
so
on it?
I started watching it. I think I saw like a tweet of because I was trying to like find out when the next raid was or whatever it was. And I saw a tweet from Gathalion and I was like, well, I don't think at that time there was an app on your phone. There might have been. I don't really remember. At this point, it was like, I don't know, 4 years ago. There probably was an app on your phone. But I knew it was on my. On my PlayStation because it was on like the front page. I don't know if I downloaded it at some point or if it was there and I just saw it. So I signed in, linked everything to it, created my name, blah, 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 which was not It's OP at the time. And my buddy requested to watch my gameplay because he was at work. And I didn't know that it would go through Twitch to his phone so that he could watch it. And so I ended up streaming to him for like 4 months. Had no idea that like there was a chat. Had no idea that I was getting
That's
followers.
Hilarious.
Had no idea
you were
what
just
was
using
happening.
The broadcast function in.
I was just in yeah, and I had no idea that I was doing it. Exactly, no clue. So I at some point I was talking to. I transitioned to like Fortnite, like everyone does at that point of like September of like 2017.
Transition because you just wanted a new game, or transition because it was your content.
I just wanted a new game. No, I didn't know I was making content at this point still, and. So one of my buddies, a different friend, was like, I wonder how hard streaming is, because I feel like all these people are just popping off and they're doing all these things. And I was like, it can't be that hard. I was like, then there's no way it can be that hard. I was very wrong at the time, very naive to the whole situation. And so I went on Twitch on my phone, and it was like, you have an account with this name or with this email. I was like, I don't have an account. I don't remember because I'd never really paid attention to the fact that I actually had an account when I was watching, because I didn't like type or anything like that. I was just watching the streams. And I went to the page and it was like, you have like 43 followers. I was like, what is this channel? Like, what is going on? And I went to like my past broadcasts and there was like a Destiny stream. And I was like, what is, I don't understand. There was like clips and not a lot. There's like maybe 3 clips and it was all from the guy that wanted to watch my stream, and the whole time he knew that I was on Twitch.
That's hilarious.
He'd been watching me through Twitch, but never told me. And so at that point I was like, well, what are like the milestones to get to like the monetary value? And like, how do you do all this? And it was like 50. I was like, I'm at 43. I'll just go and see how it goes. Little did I know those 7 followers would take forever.
And at this point you start to go,
I was like, okay. Right. And then I realized on PlayStation, you can actually like bring in a chat on the side. I don't know if you've ever seen someone stream from PlayStation, but like on the right side of the screen, it'll pop in your like little icon will be on top. It'll tell you how many people are watching. stuff like that. So then I started like realizing, okay, I can do this. I don't have to have a PC. I'll stream this. I'll play this. And then like, it just started to like click. This is something that I really, really, really like to do. Maybe not like, because I didn't know the people that were watching unless they were friends. Because like people don't always talk on Twitch if they don't know you. They just like kind of watch and sit there. And which is fine. But so I knew the people. And so we started talking like, how do we, is this something that I could actually do? At the time, since I was doing the traveling with the beer stuff, it was only on like Sundays or only on like if I was in town on Tuesday, Thursdays and then Sundays. But I made sure that it was like I have to do at least one day a week at the same time. So that people know exactly where to find.
And how long goes this?
Just so I did like one day. So I started streaming. So I actually just hit my 3-year affiliate date on January 2nd. And it was probably like September-ish of the year before.
So 3 years and maybe like 3 months or so.
Yeah, yeah. So not too terribly long ago. But yeah, it was a weird, very strange beginning to that.
So one of the things you mentioned was like you had already had like 43 followers. You needed like 7 more followers. Yes. And it was hell to get those.
It was hell just to get. I think it was maybe because like I knew people were watching at that point and I was being weird about it. Maybe like I don't know what really happened. It was like I started pushing the fact that I was streaming. I don't know. It was like one of those when you don't know something's going well, you do better type of situations. Once you like know something's like happening, you kind of start like kind of getting
freezing, putting this pressure on yourself.
Right. You like get in your head a little bit too much, which is something that I definitely do not do anymore. But yeah, it was a really awkward like transition from those realizing that I was streaming and then trying to force myself to not realize that I was streaming to like make myself more, feel more comfortable, I guess, if that makes sense.
Does. So you were doing this every Sunday when you could, outside of the gig when you were traveling. Had you switched to Fortnite at this point, or was this way before Fortnite?
This was so when I switched to Fortnite is when I realized that I was streaming.
Okay, yep.
So after Fortnite, yeah, is when like
so the balls are going. You're like, you know what you're doing now. How long were you just on this like no one's watching me train for? I'm not getting any viewers or followers.
Ooh, outside of friends that would maybe come in every once in a while. I a long time. I don't even know. Probably like 6 months. Before I was like, I actually need to figure out why or maybe how to get like a more like a wider community. It was something like, it wasn't really, honestly, it's never really been about viewers to me. Like it's more like I guess it is about viewers technically, but it's more about like people to like talk to, because like streaming to me is like really awkward and hard when there's no one to talk to. And so it's more about like, hey, I need more people in here so that I can actually talk to people and make the content better. Not necessarily like I need the number value, if that makes sense. Like it's way better for me to have like 20 people and all of them talking than to have like 300 and nobody saying a dang word the whole time. So I would have those people in my stream, my buddies. And so it would make it feel like there were more people. And then once I started getting more followers, they would kind of drop off. But then there was like, it felt like there was no one watching because they weren't there and the other people that were watching weren't really talking. So it felt worse.
It was no longer that kind of homie feeling, fun with my friends.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. And that was only with like 7 to 8 people watching, but they were like at work or whatever they were doing.
How long were you on this? I'm only doing this once a week. When were you able to break out of that?
I was able to break that when I had a knee accident at work in October of 2018 on the 16th, which we actually have like a bit command in for 1016 where I have to like squat my chair because it like helps my knee.
That's
right?
So good. I love how you've incorporated that.
Yeah, it's actually, they love it and I hate it, especially on its anniversary. So I had a work accident where I was installing a draft beer system in October of 2018. So this is like right before I was able to kind of come home because I couldn't like walk for a long time. But I was holding a beer system that was attached to the ceiling. And there was a metal drip tray on the like the bar top because it was outside and it was an existing one. So we had to take out the one that they had and put in a new one. And I was holding this this draft tower, which is a T. It's an upside down T, and it has 20 taps on this side, and on the other side it has 20 taps as well. So I'm holding it still while my buddy is my coworker is unscrewing the bolts, but one snaps. The very last one snaps, and this like 200-pound T comes like falling, and I didn't really pay attention.
You weren't even prepped for the load either.
I was not prepped for the weight at all. And so my foot slipped off the back of this, because we were on an island outside. And my foot slipped off the back, and my knee hit the metal drip tray with like a stainless steel edge and severed my patellar tendon right in half and hit my kneecap. And so at that point, I couldn't walk for like 4 months. And so work was like, you could do like paperwork, but all their paperwork was based in Tennessee. And so I wasn't going to like drive to Tennessee every day. So they were like, you can just stay home, do whatever you want, and we'll continue to pay you. So at that point, I was like, well, I love streaming. I could only do it one day a week, really. I'll just go from there. Luckily, the game that I currently play and do really well was just starting to like be in development. It was in pre-alpha in June of 2018. So right after I started recovering, and I could walk up and down the stairs, because I slept downstairs. I sat downstairs all that whole time. Right after I started recovering.
How long was that process?
I could walk upstairs. Like where I could walk. It was like 4-ish months before it was like I could walk around without pain.
Were you streaming at all during that 4 months? Or
I was streaming some. So I started streaming. I would still stream like once a week, but it was like really hard to get upstairs for like the first month. And then after that, I could get upstairs and sit here and stream every day if I wanted to. But it was like really tough to do it more than like once or twice a week still. I'd say probably like around New Year's is when like I could come up here and stream every day, Monday through Friday, and feel totally comfortable.
This is like
without
2019.
Like doing anything. Yeah. January 2019 is probably when I started like actually doing really, really well. Because I found myself in this community. The game actually was not available to stream until the NDA lifted in February 12th in 2019. So it was like perfect timing to get into this.
Were you thinking about that strategically, or were you just like, this is a fun game?
So it was a PC game only, and I had only played PlayStation games. And so I got the game and I was like, well, I saw a Twitter video in November of 2018. I was like, this is going to be a really cool game. I'm seeing like flying boulders with fire on them going across this giant lands with wizards flying around and all this craziness. It kind of felt like Avatar a little bit. And I was like, but I don't play PC games. So at that point, I kind of put it on the back end. And because my PlayStation was downstairs, I didn't have a PC. Oh, I did have I had my PC, not this one. I had the one that's on there. And but it was only to stream that one day a week, my PlayStation recording. And I got the PC for like $700 from a buddy. And it didn't run the game like at all until February, and I got a new GPU. And so I was like, I'll play the game January to February. It didn't really work out very well because it wasn't going very well, but I had kind of ingrained myself in that community enough to where they knew that I streamed. And at that point, I think I was averaging like 10 to 15 viewers a stream, which is not like small, like terribly small for like someone who's very new, only streams one day a week. It's. I mean, a lot of people stream on Twitch with like 0 to 5. So I see that as a good starting point to get into a new community with a very small game. And so February 12th comes around and the game is like, it goes into beta, or no, it goes into alpha. So it's NDA is now lifted. I can stream on Twitch and I was streaming it Monday through Friday. And I have done that since then to this day with Spellbreak.
One, that's awesome that you, it's like a weird confluence of events. How you kind of haphazardly got into it. And then the accident, which was a forcing function, which ended up being, I guess, a blessing in disguise in some ways.
It did.
Mm-hmm. When you were streaming consistently, when you were feeling fine, you kind of had the option mm-hmm. to like, go back to work at this point. But you were saying, I'm going to stream Monday to Friday.
They wouldn't let me come back. I still couldn't bend my knee. And so in order to have my job back, because I was like installing draft beer systems on ladders in really tiny crawl spaces, I'd have them like crawl on my knees and do all that stuff. I couldn't bend my knee probably until like halfway, like a half a year ago. I still couldn't bend it. Like even just walking around, I was like a peg leg, and bending it was like excruciating pain. I mean, still to this day, it feels like there's a little bit of like a screwdriver stuck in there, but it's not like, it's like kind of numbed out at this point. and I'm starting to learn now, like maybe a month ago, how to run again. So it's still like in this really weird process. I don't remember what your question was.
Specifically, I was trying to dig in, like, you didn't go back to work or get a job. You were streaming, right? And like, how did that go down yourself, but then also with your parents?
So I was still getting paid via work until September of last year.
So that was their, that was like your workers' comp thing. Like they,
my workers' comp paid me up until that point. And so September is actually, this is actually hilarious, a weird coincidence as well. The day of my workers' comp case where they wanted to settle everything was the exact same day as Spellbreak's launch date, like official launch
date. That's some voodoo stuff right there.
Yeah, I couldn't even stream the game that I have been pushing and pumping this whole time on the day that it launched, which was, it was tough. I did end up streaming that morning for an hour. And then after my case for like 3 or 4 more hours. But yeah, so I ended up getting paid that whole time. So it really wasn't a conversation that I had to have with anybody at that point, because they didn't want to push the case forward. They kind of wanted to like ride it out. We kind of have a theory that they wanted to close the company down and not really go anywhere with it. So they were just like letting it bleed out kind of with workers' comp and all this other stuff. Cause I was not the only workers' comp case at the time. There was 5 others in my exact position across the nation with them in that same position. So I think they were getting some kind of heat from like OSHA or something maybe. So they just kind of wrote it out from October of 2018 to September 3rd of 2020. So, and that whole time I just streamed from February of 2019. Every day, didn't really have to have a conversation with anybody because I was getting paid my exact same salary and it's non-taxable, so you can't really do anything, and you can't go find another job while that's happening or it forfeits all of your workers comp, so you just kind of have to like sit there.
So even though it was a really, you know, terrible accident, actually ended up being the reason that you can do what you're doing today.
Huge blessing. Exactly. 100%. And I was a very active person before. Like, I love hiking. I love snowboarding. I played soccer in leagues till that day. I was actually still in a league when I got my accident. And I still can't do any of those things today, but it allows me to do what I love every day in a job that I don't hate and dread going to. So I'll get there eventually, but I'm just not there yet. I can run up to a mile right now, which is huge, I think, for where I'm at.
No, so. It is. It's awesome. When you...
Yeah,
we're doing this Monday to Friday, and you started to kind of grow your viewers. Like, at this point, you launched a Spellbreak. You had a community already. It was like 15 viewers. At what point did you kind of mentally shift? Like, this is something I am invested in. I'm going to continue to grow this. Wow, there's like people are donating. Like, there's subs. Mm-hmm. When did that kind of mentally just shift a little bit from I'm playing games anyway, I'm just going to stream it because it's fun, to there's kind of like a job here?
I would say from the beginning, I kind of saw the potential in Spellbreak very, very early on. Like I said, from that Twitter video that I saw before I even started playing the game. And I knew that there was something here with the game. And I didn't necessarily think of myself in that position of like content creator, streamer type of thing, but I knew that the game could go far. So if I started in the game early on, I was like, if this game does go well, I'm already well known in the community at the point of alpha and NDA drop. If I continue streaming it every single day, if I make content in it from now until its release date, I'll be even more known. I should be like a community name. And so at the very beginning, I kind of had in my mind, like, I'm gonna shoot for this goal. This is gonna be something that I'm gonna do. So I think once I found Spellbreak, once I started streaming it, in like February, once the stream started going well, it's like, I'm gonna shoot. I'm just gonna go for it. It's not gonna be a for fun type of situation. I have maximum of 2 years at this point because workers' comp is 2 years. And at that point you have to apply for like disability. And I was like, I know that this company is gonna push it to 2 years. So I have a minimum of 2 years where I can try my absolute hardest at making content. And if it goes well, then there we are. If it doesn't go well, I didn't lose anything because I was having to sit home anyways. So I knew right from the get-go, probably February, like midway, maybe at the end of February, midway through March is where I was like, okay, we're gonna do this, because I saw the potential early in the game. And then once I saw that like there was viewership even though it was small, there was viewership growth from February to March, and it just kept building. Granted, it was a small build, and I didn't take all of the advantages I should have because I didn't really know what I was doing. Like, I didn't know that I should be doing YouTube. I didn't know that I should be posting clips to Twitter or Instagram or using all these other sources of social media. But I knew that streaming was going well, and I was just going to go for it.
You're going for it. How supportive is your family and kind of friends around you at this point?
Friends were where it was kind of an interesting conversation because you want to think that your friends are going to be like, yo, that's so cool. You can play video games and do all this other stuff. And then it quickly turns into, but how much money is it turning into? Like, is it actually doing anything? Or are you just like seeing like one or two people come by more a day? And friends will always like kind of jokingly give you that like, oh, it's not a real job. You're not really doing all this stuff. Actually, this is a really funny story about that. I had a friend come into, me and him have talked about streaming for the whole time, but he's never actually come into chat. And probably about 2 months ago, maybe even less. This name comes into chat. I don't recognize it at all. And it doesn't have like, I should have recognized it because it has his name in it. But like, there's so many people with a name on Twitch. Like, you have no idea. And they come in, all they say is, this isn't a real job. That's all it says. And so my mod immediately was like, ban. Which, we don't ban people in my chat, like, ever. So it was kind of like one of those weird situations where it just happened to be my buddy. Because he texted me right afterwards, and all it said was, this isn't a real job. Like, as a joke. But there's always that, like, are they joking type of feeling about it when it comes to the friends. Like, my family is very supportive. They it's not something that it was ever really more so. It was more along the lines of like, you can actually do that. You can get in front of a camera. Cause I've always been really shy. Yeah. It's like you can actually get in front of a camera and like have people talk to you. But like, what's that? Like, I don't understand that. I was like, well, Dad, you watch Clemson play football every Sunday and it's just a game, right? And he was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But I just don't play video games. I was like, exactly. It's like, I don't consider myself a pro at a video game, but it's kind of that same like newscaster watching video game type of situation. I tried to explain it that way to him. And so that actually worked really, really well. And so he's very supportive. My mom's very supportive. My wife was very supportive, but was very concerned about the monetary value as well.
So we skipped that a little bit. How long have you been married for?
We just hit 3 years.
Just hit 3 years.
In December.
So this was then, that was almost about the time of your accident then, is when you got married.
Yes. So it was the year before. So we got married December of 2017 and my accident was October of 2018. So we hadn't even hit a year yet of being married. And so it was kind of a weird transition, I would say, because the first year of our marriage was, we bought a house in April of 2017. And our whole first year of marriage was building the house up, like finishing the house. And then I get injured and we're still finishing the house. And then now I'm streaming. And now it's like been very much just like compacted stuff going on. So it's been a very strange, weird ride. But she's been great through the whole thing and has actually been very supportive, which I did not expect.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure her world, like, she did not expect her world to change the way it changed either.
Not at all, because she's a very stats, science-driven person. And as you know, like, Twitch and YouTube is kind of up and down and very hard.
Not very
to, like,
predictable or linear, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very unpredictable. And you can't really be like, well, I'm going to get to this point at this time and then show them, like, how? Because they don't really understand that. It's kind of hard to show somebody who doesn't understand content creation, like, how, like, what your ways to get to that goal is, because they just don't understand those goals. They don't understand like the steps to get there either. So you can do your best, but it's been kind of weird in that situation.
So you're mentioning your buddies can make fun of it or just joking a little bit or didn't get it. It probably says more about them than it does about you, to be honest.
But yeah.
You're at this point where you've got viewers, you're kind of in tight with Spellbreak, you're new in the community, you're starting to make revenue. Mm-hmm. Did you like start to think this is a business, or was that just a foreign concept?
I did not think about it as a business until I was reached to by a sponsored type of thing. And I was like, oh, but how does that work? Because then I'll have to, like, because in North Carolina, once you get to a certain monetary value, it's no longer a hobby and you have to claim it. And I wasn't hitting, I wasn't hitting that monetary value for a very long time, and probably until like a year ago. And it's not a very large, I think it's like $2,000 or something a year. And then it's like a hobby. So it's been strange, like, to realize that you actually have to have, like right now we're actually going through the steps to get like a bank account and do things like separately, keep things, the finances separate, even though it's a small, we're still small, like very, very small. It's, we just wanted to keep it separate from the beginning, if that makes sense.
But I, like, absolutely recommend most content creators do that. It just makes,
yeah, they don't, it just makes it so much easier. And my wife is honest to God, like, if it was just me at this point, I would still not think of it at all. Period. My wife is like on top of everything. She's very much, like I said, she's very stats and science driven. She's very much in charge of the money in the relationship, because I just don't. It's like something that doesn't really click in my head very much. So if it wasn't for her, I would have no idea that I would even need to have it as a business, to think of it as a business. It would still probably just be like, hey, I'm hanging out with the friends and you're tossing me some dollars for like a taco or something. Like, it's like, it just would still wouldn't click in my head, I don't think. But she's made it very clear that, like, hey, you have to start doing it this way or you're going to be in a very large world of hurt, trying to figure it all out later.
No, absolutely agree. We fast forward a little bit. You said you went full time at what point? How long ago was that?
Full time was, I started doing it full time right after my accident, probably February 12th was NDA lift. So right then is when I started streaming Monday through Friday.
Are you,
just to grind it as much as possible.
Are you at the point where workers comp is expired? It was 2 years, right? So is that expired or is it?
So workers comp was still going, because that was only, so it was October, November, December, January, February. That was only 5 months after the fact that it was started. And workers' comp didn't actually start until 3 months in. So it was only 2 months into workers' comp. I still had 22 months left of workers' comp to go. And I don't think I actually hit workers' comp ending, actually. It shorted by like 3 months, 4 months.
So still 3-4 months left?
No, because we closed in September of 2020. So there was still 3 months left after that point, but we closed the case and all that stuff. So at that point, I was on my own. It's September 3rd, Spellbreak's release date, and I'm on my own, no longer have a backing. And at that point, I think my average for that, this was an explosive, this is a funny story about Stone. That I don't know if you know this story, but I'll tell it in a second. So on launch, I don't even know if Stone remembers this, and this will be funny if he doesn't. On launch, we're averaging, like, so Marcus had been doing the same thing as I was doing. He was streaming. If you don't know Marcus also plays Spellbreak and does YouTube, but he was streaming every day and I was streaming every day. And our averages were like, normally before that, he was averaging like 30 to 40, and I was averaging like 40 to 50 at that point. And it was like, it just exploded. And he was averaging like right around 1K on launch, and I was averaging right around like 700 for like a month. And at that point, I get these two people that come into my chat. One of them didn't talk. And the first one does talk. It's not a partnered streamer. It's this guy named Stone Mountain, like 87, not the right numbers at all. And I'm like, okay, I know there's a Stone Mountain, but there's no way. And I was like, thanks for the follow, Stone Mountain, blah, 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 blah. And then another one comes in and it's like Stone Mountain 64. And I'm like, yo, Stone, thanks for the follow. And my whole chat's like, are you a moron? Like, do you not know who that is? And I'm like, I have no idea. I know that Stone Mountain's a streamer, but I don't know his numbers. Like, there's two of them. I don't know who it is. So at that point, it was like cruising, crazy, crazy, crazy. And we thought it was just going to keep going. But Spellbreak has this like fundamental problem of not having enough content. And not getting patches out quickly. And so it dropped like really quickly. Mine dropped from, because at this point I still was not doing YouTube. And that's something I really should have done, because Marcus, like I said at the beginning of launch, was averaging less viewers than I was, which is totally fine. But because he had been doing Spellbreak YouTube for that whole time period, from alpha to launch, which was almost 2 years, his shot up so much faster because people were searching the terms on YouTube and then saw his name at the top of Twitch. And his stayed up high, like his viewership stayed 1,000 for, I want to say like two to three months, maybe a little bit less. And mine dropped down to 120 because people were finding the YouTube people instead, and the people who weren't staying were kind of just like stopping around. And mine stayed 120 for like six months. And then it would drop, and then it would go up, and then it would drop, and it would go up. And every time like a patch comes out, it pops up again, and then it drops down, and then it pops up, and then it drops down. So it's been a really strange like experience, because you get this doubt in your head a little bit about like, is it me? Is it my problem? And that's when I actually started turning off my numbers. Oh, like I just stopped turning. I don't know how many people are watching at all, period. I don't know like how many subs. I don't know. I don't see followers, stuff like that. I do now with the subs because of I need to know for the wife. Just so I can like talk it out. But it's been weird. It's been very, very strange.
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, for those listening, going in on one game, like you've now your identity is tied to that game for the last few years.
Right.
That's a decision, right? And it's can be really hard to ever undo that decision too. What would you say to someone who's like thinking like there might be some games? I think what's that game that's coming up? Starts with a V.
Valheim.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Valheim. Yes, I saw that. My community was trying to get me to play that today, and I just. We'll see.
So that's see. And like there's just but, probably creators like thinking that's the same way you were back mm-hmm. then about Valheim. What would you say to them when they're thinking about these new releases coming out?
If you can see the game doing well and you have the time to put into it, do it. If you have if you are in the right situation to not have to worry about your money, and to not have to worry about like how your bill's going to be paid, go all in and do that one game if you want to. It is very, very, in my opinion, it's very, very hard to start as a streamer in like multiple different games because you don't find like a small community in each game pocket. You kind of bounce around, and this person that was watching you is going to stay over here in this game. He's going to find somebody else. But if you stay in this game, then more and more people come to that into that spot. But you have to, I feel like nowadays you have to put in YouTube, you have to do Twitter, you have to do Instagram, you have to do TikTok nowadays too. It's like you have to put in, if you're going to do one game and you're going to start at the beginning of that game cycle and that game's life, put in the time to do all of the content as much as you can, especially on YouTube. Because if not, there's just no point in doing one game, I don't think.
That's great advice.
There's just no point.
I wanted to, before we wrap, because we're almost at time, I wanted to wrap on this transition to full time. And what that means, there's a pressure on you, there's bills to pay, there's the kind of relationship has changed slightly now with streaming. How has that experience been for you?
It's been kind of, I wouldn't say disappointing. That's not the right word. The right word is awkward. It's been like, I thought, when I started going full time was because of the, I'm not going to say full time was when I was getting paid. I'm going to start with like September 3rd, when I was no longer getting paid from work and Spellbreak came off. At that point, when we were averaging those high numbers and we were getting paid like with those, like what the monetary comes with those numbers, I was like, this is going to go very, very well. But then you quickly realize that those numbers are because of the game and not necessarily you. And so when it drops off, you have to be ready and you have to have your money in the right place. Because if you don't, it's going to be really hard for you to continue to go full time. And I'm in that spot right now where it's like, if my wife did not have the job that she has, I would probably have to get another job because I'm in that like really awkward, like right on the cusp of like being able to support myself solely based on streaming. And it's like when I said disappointed, it's because it was like I saw that growth and then it fell. It does grow each time there's a patch. Like there's a new patch coming like roughly around like March 9th, a new chapter, everything with a bunch of new stuff in the game, new game mode, new ranked stuff. And I would fully expect it to go high again. And now because of that, I expect it to fall again. And so I'll always have that in my mind of I need to have it secure. And not get hopeful. So like a lot of people will get to that point and they'll start buying like microphones. They'll start buying like cameras. They'll start buying headsets. They'll start buying mice and all this other stuff. This mic right here is actually from 2012 when I started doing audio engineering in school. And I wanted to upgrade it, but I'm kind of terrified that it's going to like kind of keep doing like the ups and downs thing. So it's kind of in this weird spot of full-time, yes, but I don't know if it would be full-time if I was on my own.
And it's an interesting thing. I think one insight or lesson that I've found over the years on that one is you want to drive affinity to you, not to the game. Mm-hmm. And right. That's the, I think the thing is you're making more right. content, kind of spreading out your wings mm-hmm. a little bit, is driving that affinity to you rather than
right.
purely Spellbreak, because then you're a little more resilient in the times when
absolutely
peaks and troughs.
Absolutely. I this is a funny story about the branding. Is my branding used to be based around a character and a skin inside the game. And once I realized like my content is solely about the game and not about me, it's like I need to make my branding also reflect that. So I stripped everything down and I made all of my branding completely on its own about myself. It had nothing to do with the game at all. Not because I was going to separate myself from the game, but separate my channel and my like my actual branding not being linked strictly to that. So when I go to a different game, it's not like, why is your branding this skin? Why is it would make more sense to just kind of like be fluid around. And when I go do content on like I said, my TikTok is all about like how to grow, what you need to do, your branding, all of like the content that you need to be putting together and where you need to be putting it. And that doesn't really make sense when you have like all your branding based on a game, you know? So I'm starting to diversify myself away from Spellbreak. And it's not because I'm leaving Spellbreak. I'm going to always play Spellbreak, but it's just to like for security purposes.
And it's the right thing to do.
I guess
it's the right thing to do. And there's that absolutely. Your community will eventually understand, but there's always that friction that you're trying to manage as you're making that transition. Mm-hmm. It was so many great insights for any new aspiring creator in here that I would recommend not just listening to this once, but listen to it twice. I think in a real appreciation for the journey, but also like enjoying the journey and having fun is best you can in the beginning. Because when it becomes a job, your emotional relationship starts to change a little with it and you start fighting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people don't realize that either. Yeah. So. When they started to do it.
Well, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.